So in this episode, Vivi, we're gonna talk to Maggie Smallwood about cold water swimming.
Not something that appeals to me personally, but I do understand the benefits of it.
You're not big on swimming, are you, really?
No, not generally, no.
Neither am I much, to be quite honest. But Maggie talks about the importance for physical strength and mental stability of cold water swimming.
And it seems to be borne out by people who do it.
It is, yes. Yeah. Yes. You're not to be persuaded, I can tell. Right. But cold water swimming in the Calder Valley.
Because there is cold water swimming in the valley now, isn't there? There's Lum Falls. There's odd places you can do it. But she's talking about somewhere that's a proper outdoor pool without chlorine. And that can be used by kayakers and various other groups.
And the sub-aqua people.
Yeah.
And the disabled.
Mm-hmm.
Should the disabled want to do cold water swimming?
Which I'm sure is of benefit.
Yeah. Which is actually, it's a great idea, whether it appeals to you or not. Do you remember when we first moved into Victoria Road in Hebden Bridge? And people were going to build a swimming pool right next to where we were living.
Yes,
Have a building with a cafe and changing rooms made out of straw bales.
Yes, I do. Who could forget? Yes. And it was our first kind of public thing that was going on. And we thought, let's go and see what it's about. And it was on the site itself, which then was just waste ground. And two women saw me rolling a cigarette, which I used to do in those days, and said, oh, any chance we could scrounge a bit of tobacco? And one was the mayor and the other one was the doctor. I thought, I'm really going to like this place.
Helped you settle into the town.
And it was a fantastic idea, but it didn't come about.
It didn't happen at that time.
And there's flats on that site now, but for a long time, after the swimming pool idea, it was clear it wasn't going to happen. We grew vegetables on that site with the neighbours and had bonfires, and it was always called the straw bale site.
Yes, and we had some grown-ups, kids' footy matches on it, didn't we?
Yes, and Lorenzo, remember Lorenzo, one of our neighbours?
Yes, I remember you talked to Lorenzo. You liked observing Lorenzo working hard, didn't you?
Well, I think a few of the women did. They all said, oh, Lorenzo's out there stripped to the waist with a scythe.
Yes.
Lorenzo, if you're listening, we treasure that memory.
You certainly got some of the women out to help anyway. And Maggie and a couple of others have regenerated the whole idea and are working hard to get it.
And they're looking for, well, I think Maggie will say so in the interview, but they are looking for people who might be able to help provide land where they could put this.
Yeah. So, shall we have a chat with her then?
Let's do that. So, we're sitting in Cragvale in the lovely kitchen of Sean and Maggie, and it's Maggie Smallwood we're here to talk to. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, babe.
And about open swimming, wild swimming. Whatever.
An outdoor swimming pool.
Outdoor, that was the word I was looking for. Open, wild, outdoor swimming. Yeah. So you've been campaigning for some time for a swimming pool in the valley. So can you tell us where you're up to and what's happening with it?
Right. So I don't know if I'd really say I'd been campaigning for one, but I'd heard about the Mytham Road Swimming Pool Fund and that they had been trying to build a indoor pool for, I think, actually really quite a long time. I mean, I know people who've been working on it for about 40 years, but apparently the fund goes back to 1892.
Wow, that's
so
a long time.
A serious amount of time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think what people have found was that to build a indoor heated pool, you might have had enough money to build it, but to make it work financially in the long term, it was just didn't add up. I think all the swimming pools that Calderdale run, for instance, they're all subsidised because it's just so expensive to run them. For a little community group, that was really not practical. So I'd had the thought, well, maybe you could build an outdoor natural pool.
Right.
And that's partly because, well, nowadays I'm getting quite old and my joints aren't so good. And I can't, there's lots of things I can't do anymore. And one of the things that I used to do, which used to keep me mentally stable, was running. And I can't run anymore. And what I discovered was that cold water swimming does exactly the same thing as running, of just releasing you and raising you and just keeping the blues away.
While protecting your knees and your feet, presumably, which running would damage. Yeah.
Exactly. I do notice if I don't do it for a few days, my joints are definitely worse. So it does actually help with the, but the main thing is it just what it does to you mentally. And I kind of thought, well, you know, this is all very well. I can go off to a reservoir or somewhere else to do this. But for most people who of my age, that's not a practical thing to do. And this group who've been trying to build a swimming pool for ages and they can't make it add up. And there's all these other people who would really benefit from access to safe, cold, fresh water. Couldn't we make the two things come together?
Wow. So, and you've been working towards that end then?
So what happened was the wonderful Nick Wilding was one of the trustees, and he was actually Scott Patient who put us together. And he has just managed to keep the charity going almost single-handedly. So what happened with the recent history was the Swimming Pool Association had been planning to build in Mytham Royd Community Car Park. The community centre had decided they didn't want it there, and that had been quite a blow. Then COVID struck, and then two of the four trustees died. And there was just Nick, who is not a young man, and his friend Dorothy, who is well into her 90s. So they were at quite in a difficult situation. So
these were the original charity trustees, or
that's right.
Presumably not the originals, even if it was 1992.
But
Dorothy's that old. Yeah.
But from when I remember it, 20 odd years ago, they were trying to build a swimming pool out of straw bales, and it was one of the wacky things that kind of attracted me to Hebden Bridge, actually. But so were they part of that that then moved on to Mytham Royd? And
that's my understanding, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick is the person who really knows. He's a local historian. He's made films about local history, and he's been involved in it for very many years. So he'd be able to give you chapter and verse. But I think there have been... he's been involved, there have been three different kind of near misses about actually building one, but it's never quite come off. And that's really because they can't make it add up. And so with the kind of explosion of interest in cold water swimming, open water swimming, there's actually a really big group of people who would immediately use it. You can delete this if you like, but I see it as the kind of entry drug to cold water swimming. What we would like to do is provide a safe, clean space where people can experience swimming in natural water. And I think one of the benefits that I see, apart from the immediate health benefits, is that if you've actually swum in deep cold water in a safe place, if you end up falling into some deep cold water somewhere, you're in a much better position to be able to get yourself out of it. And I think that's definitely kind of one of the benefits. We want it to be a safe and a healthy place. So there have been actually pools like this built in America, but more mainly in Austria and Germany for about the last 50 years. So it's quite possible to make a swimming pool which doesn't use chlorine or other chemicals, where actually you just use natural processes that filter the water, keep it clean, and you have none of the kind of nasty health benefits, disadvantages of, for instance, chlorine. So most athletes who swim a lot have issues with their breathing, and that's because of the chlorine. So, and that you can make water which is just as clean, just as you do with chlorine, using natural processes.
Okay, so I mean, I'm not well up on outside water things generally, but there's been a lot of publicity about the state of our rivers and the sea. Presumably,
which puts a lot of people off from wild swimming.
Yeah, because they're the places that people would swim in the open, aren't they? But given they're full of human waste and E. coli and whatever else, it's a bit gross, isn't it?
Absolutely gross, yes.
So that wouldn't affect the spaces you're looking at for wild swimming or cold water swimming?
No, so what we're planning to do is basically build a big hole and fill it with rainwater.
Okay.
And it's actually one of the few occasions where you can feel really grateful for the amount of rain we get in colder days.
Yeah.
I can imagine it wouldn't take that long to fill it up.
It'd be great if we could all, you know, push it towards where you want it.
Just had.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the advantage of rainwater is that it's very, very low in nutrients, and that means it's much easier to keep it clean. Because you don't get the kind of nasty stuff growing in there, which you would if it was had a lot of the nutrients that plants and algae use as food. So the rainwater is very, very clean. And actually, the way that a natural swimming pool works, it's a kind of its own little ecosystem. So you get new water falling out of the sky, which keeps it topped up, and new water evaporates from it, and that's fine. So there's an ongoing kind of cycle for the water. And the plants and microorganisms in the water keep the water clean. And providing you keep that level of nutrients, that can be a very balanced little ecosystem.
So are you talking about what people would think of as a pond, a clean pond, rather than a swimming pool? I mean, people think of swimming pool, rectangle, some end to end and what have you. And yours would look more like a pond.
Yes, that's my. So there are lots of different sorts of designs of these pools. Mm-hmm. So in the German ones, some of them just look like a swimming pool, like they're blue squares. Other ones look like a natural pond, which with kind of reeds and water lilies and stuff all around it. And there's a whole range of things between that. Mm. And I think once we've found a site, we'll start to get some design gurus in to kind of give us their ideas about how to make it. We've got some ideas about size. So we've been talking to people like the triathlon people and the kayak people about this kind of minimum size that they'd need to be able to use it. So we want to make something that's at least as big as, for instance, Sorby Bridge Pool or Todmorden Pool. So that's 25 metres long and 10 metres wide.
That's a fair size, isn't it? Yeah.
So that's a minimum. So that's for the swimming area. And then you need more or less an equivalent area to clean the water around it.
So you'd have kayakers in and the like. Yeah.
And what about the underwater people?
Yes, so we took...
There's a subaqua club in Hebden Bridge. Yeah. I always find it amusing when you see the signs. You can't go underwater in that tiny building.
Yeah. Or anywhere near Hebden.
Yeah, we talked to them. I think so there are a few people who want to have at least part of it really quite deep so that you can dive into it. Mm. Whether or not we'll be able to do that, we'll have to wait and see. It'll depend on the site. But that's certainly
and
something.
The geology of the site and what have you.
Exactly, and where the water table is and stuff like that.
Because I know some of the London parks have outdoor swimming, don't they? They have the Lidos or Lidos, I never know how to pronounce it. Do you take any inspiration from them, or are they just small places to swim? Are they?
So those tend to be chlorinated.
All right.
Yes, definitely we can take inspiration from lots of those sorts of installations, but what we're really keen is that this should be a natural pool, and that's at least partly, as you were talking about pollution that we face from the sewage works. Our river is one of the worst in the country. Mm. And, you know, there aren't places where people can just go and play in the water without thinking they're going to get sick.
Which it's is awful, isn't it?
Just horrendous. Yeah. But it's not just us that get sick. It's all the other little kind of, you know, creepy crawlies and beasties that live in these places. You know, I do monitoring for the canal and river, not the canal, the Calder and Colne River and Canal Trust. It's an organisation which monitors the state of the rivers locally.
Yeah.
And you can see that when, you know, there's not enough water and there's too much sewage going in, there are less little creepy crawlies there. And that just indicates the health of our rivers. This place is going to be super clean, and it's going to provide a really quite a unique, not unique, but an environment where there a lot of kind of wildlife and different sorts of plants and animals will be able to thrive.
Yeah.
So the idea is that it's a very, very inclusive place. It's inclusive for lots of different sorts of people to use, so old people or young people or men or women or, you know, kayakers or people who are disabled. Or so we want to design it so that as many different sorts of people as there are able to use it. So inclusive for people, but also inclusive for nature. So that there's a space where people can kind of encounter nature in a different way. So I've heard people say, oh, you're going to have newts and frogs in it. And I say, well, yeah. That's a good thing. Yeah. And they kind of, well, I don't want to be swimming with frogs and newts. But actually, you only get frogs and newts where things are really clean.
Mm. Yes, yeah, so that would be a good sign.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so is that just bringing people a little bit closer to what our natural environment is?
But I suppose, I mean, people who do wild swimming must be swimming with those sort of frogs and newts and fish and various things anyway. I quite like your idea of it being a gateway drug. whether it's appropriate language is a different matter. But yeah, it's a way in. And to be able to do it, for someone to be saying, ooh, frogs, no. then actually see, you know, Auntie Sally's in there, and sister's in there. I'll have it a go. And it's, you know, it's a safe environment, you know. And that people could then feel more comfortable about swimming in lakes and rivers and reservoirs and things. So long as those lakes and rivers and reservoirs had some kind of safety limit.
I mean, and I might be sort of simplifying things, but or stereotyping, but don't people always want a cup of hot chocolate when they come out of out of freezing cold water? Would there be anywhere that would provide that kind of thing?
Yeah, so again, this is very site-specific. And so, I mean, the one thing I think everybody is completely determined that there has to be are saunas. So we will definitely have saunas. We would really like to be able to have a cafe on the site. Mm-hmm. We'd really like to have, you know, children's play equipment, possibly adult play equipment. Mm. That sounds rude, but... Didn't come out right, that. Adult fitness equipment.
Yes, that's the word, yeah.
Picnic benches, nature trails, you know, lots of other things.
Right, so
you go there for a morning or an afternoon or a day as an activity.
Yeah, so a cup of hot chocolate would seem quite simple.
Definitely,
all that.
I
think you'd get your hot chocolate, Viv.
I'd do it without the swimming person. But I do understand through members of my own family, you know, that outdoor swimming is a thing.
But it's also interesting because there are, you know, Halifax, Todmorden, various other places, there are swimming pools. And the leap from swimming in a swimming pool, the council-owned swimming pool, to swimming in a lake, it's quite a leap, and you know, this is a stepping stone, might be more appropriate terminology to get to that.
Yeah, as opposed to a diving board. So, would you be interested in people joining? Are you a committee or what?
So, the So the body that runs this, we're a charity. It's actually run by a company limited by guarantee, mm-hmm. which, so the trustees of the charity and the directors of the company are the same people. It's a really common structure for voluntary organisations. Mm. So, for instance, the town hall has the same structure as that.
Yeah.
So people are welcome to join. You just drop us an email and we'll give you a link to join if you're interested. We're very much open to membership, but what we don't want is lots of members who just join and then we never see again. Mm. What we want is members who are actively involved. And so, for instance, last Sunday we had a meeting for all the members who we've got, and probably about two-thirds of them turned up, mm-hmm. which shows that they're people who are really engaged.
Yeah.
And so they come out and they help us. So we've been doing, my colleague Louise has been leading a big community consultation around the pool, because obviously this is a very different suggestion, doing an outdoor natural pool, from doing an indoor heated pool. And we want to get some feedback from the community about whether or not they support it, and for them to give us our ideas about the sorts of things that they want. So we've done some focus groups with lots of different sorts of people, parents of under fives, sports club at Calder High, the triathletes, a group of older people, probably about a dozen little kind of discussions with small groups. And then we've got a stall that we're taking out to different things. So we're going to the Dock Pudding Festival.
Yes.
This Sunday.
Is it this week?
Yeah, already.
Yeah.
I'd rather be with you on the hot chocolate than having a Dock Pudding after a swim.
So, again, and then we've got an online questionnaire, which about 200 people have filled in. And so we're finding that like 90% of people think it's a great idea. They really like the idea of an outdoor pool.
So if people want to join in and help, or even if they have a massive piece of land somewhere, you know, that you didn't know about, how do they contact you? Is there a website, and what's it called?
So with our website is Hebden Royd Pool. So if you email hebdenroydpool@gmail.com, that's our email address.
Okay.
There's also a Facebook page, which is also Hebden Royd Pool. So any of those, put Hebden Royd Pool into your any sort of search, you'll come across us.
That's great, thanks. And I think the Swimming Pool Association, the initials are a great acronym, aren't they? SPA.
SPA, yeah.
I haven't
thought
of that.
SPA. Yeah. So if anybody's interested and can offer any time, expertise, land, whatever, get in touch.
Our biggest challenge at the moment is finding a piece of land where we can put it. I mean, we're talking to a couple of landowners, we're talking to the council. However, we still haven't found the ideal site. So if you know anybody who's got a bit of land, it doesn't have to be huge, it can be slightly sloping, but not precipitous.
Yeah.
And ideally just somewhere which is reasonably accessible from Mytham Royd and Hebden Bridge.
Yeah.
Please do come and come forward, because that's our biggest challenge, is finding a place to put it.
All right. Well, fantastic. It's been really interesting to talk to you.
Thanks ever so much.
Thanks, Maggie.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.